If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and it is my pleasure today to do the show with Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Tim?
Oh, man. So much fun news to talk about, Bless.
Oh, yeah.
Some news that honestly warms my heart.
Oh, of course. I mean, I almost don't want to talk about it yet.
I know.
Because it's story number one.
It is story number one.
But we did it.
Yeah.
We made it happen.
We made it.
We did it together.
We did it.
They listened.
With all of you, your support out there. You know, people might have had to go to jail to make this happen, but it's okay. We got through it.
We got Johnny Silverhand, man.
We got Johnny Silverhand. We did the fucking thing. God, man. All right. We'll talk about that in just a second, because, of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday, we run you through all of the video game news that you need to know. If you like that, you can support us with the Kind of Funny membership. That gets you the shows ad-free. You can watch live as we record them, and you get a daily exclusive Gregway. You also could be a super, super, super cool Patreon producer like Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Thank you all so very much for your support. That means you don't need to hear the ads for Factor, like we'll tell you about later. A little housekeeping for you. Mad Max In Review, Episode 2, is now live. The Road Warrior. Bless, this franchise is fucking crazy.
Is it? Wait, was that Kevin? Oh, man, that's fucking awesome. I've not seen this intro before. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yeah, like you have only seen Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I forget if you said you only watched part of Fury Road.
I only watched part of Fury Road. So now, like, I'm now two movies into Mad Max, and plus, they're just not what you expect, specifically the first movie. It's just not Fury Road.
I need to watch it. I don't know what I expect Mad Max to be in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like a more hardcore Idiocracy. I don't know if you ever watched Idiocracy.
Yes. Yeah, that's in some ways that, but also it's just, you'll just have to see. I don't know if you're going to vibe with it, but you might. The Road Warrior which is number two.
Yeah.
That's a real ass movie. You watch and you're like, oh, I get it. Like this makes sense. This leads to Fury Road. Mm-hmm. The first Mad Max, you're like, what? All right.
Interesting.
I liked it a lot though. But yeah, anyway, watch the interview.
Dude, I got so close to watching The Prestige on Sunday. Because again, I've been putting off this like my own personal Christopher Nolan in review. Because I know I fucking love Christopher Nolan movies, but I've only seen a small percentage of them. And so I was like looking up, I was like, okay, do I do Memento or do I do Prestige or do I do
both.
Dunkirk? And I was sitting on Sunday.
Yeah.
Do an order?
Yeah.
Should I start with this very, like,
you need to watch the following,
is the first
also,
one.
Also, his first movie, I mean, it's cool because it's like the most indie thing ever, but it's only like 40 minutes.
Yeah. It's definitely a short film, him trying to like prove and show like what his vibe as a filmmaker is more than anything. But it is cool because like some of the actors he uses in that do cameo and other shit, but like,
I also know that how much I like magicians.
Dude,
and magic.
The Prestige is going to change you.
Yeah, which is why I wanted to start with The Prestige, because Wolverine is in that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Batman.
In Batman. So I'm like, oh, fuck, you got a magic movie starring
magic
Wolverine.
Off, dude.
And Michael Caine.
And Michael goddamn Caine.
It's a body double.
That's why I want to start with that one, because I think that's going to be the biggest banger for me. I don't know shit about Dunkirk outside of what I saw from the trailers.
I don't know you're going to love Dunkirk.
Really?
Yeah.
I was on the top 20 Nolan list over the weekend trying to figure this out. Dunkirk was high up. Dunkirk was number one on a lot of lists.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I feel like I get it. It's a great movie, obviously, but Nolan movies kind of fall into the camp of like, yo, he's trying to do some crazy like sci-fi shit and he's going for it. Or it's like, yo, I'm being really historically accurate. And
I fuck with both those things.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. But I think when you compare them, it's like, all right.
Yeah. Or it's
the sci-fi
like
stuff's doper.
But like Oppenheimer, I would put up there.
Well,
I guess now I think about it, right? Like I enjoyed Inception more than I enjoyed Oppenheimer. But Oppenheimer as a theater experience was fucking incredible.
Hey. Totally. And so is Dunkirk. But like, I put Dunkirk clearly in the Oppenheimer category.
Yeah.
And I think it's many steps below Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Right, yeah. That's the thing with like his historical ones. I feel like they're good IMAX experiences, which I think paint a lot of like people's lists because they saw that in IMAX. Like Dunkirk kicked ass watching that on the huge screen, but like that's not one that I'm ever thinking about all the time, like his other films.
Okay.
But the Prestige, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I came up for the Prestige. But where also you put Memento. Tenet in this conversation?
Fucking Tenet? Memento.
I know Tenet's more on the Inception type Tenet,
yeah,
conversation.
Yeah, I personally would put Tenet at like the low end of the sci-fi stuff.
Okay.
Which I still enjoyed it. I love Christopher Nolan. So it's not like, I don't think there's any project he put out that I don't like. Yeah. But Tenet's definitely like your swang. I don't know that you hit with that, with that one. You know,
right
swung,
now, swang. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get swang on him. But what I think right now, I know you said go in order, but like I think right now I am considering starting off with The Prestige because I know I'm going to fucking start off strong.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be my favorite one, I imagine, knowing what I know about these movies. Prestige. I've still not seen Interstellar.
Dude, you have such a good time ahead of you.
I know. Because like, shit. Again, Dark Knight, one of my favorite movies ever. Yeah. Inception, one of my favorite movies ever. Oppenheimer, one of my favorite movies. Yeah. I fucking love the Nolan shit that I've seen.
All right. Interstellar, I think that we got to do it. It's a watch in my theater.
Oh,
it's a watch in my theater movie.
I'm into it. Let's do it.
All right. Anyway, this is kind of Funny Games Day. We talk about video games and stuff. Like Shadow the Hedgehog has been cast. The Silk Song finally might be coming and more because this is Games Day. I already told you. You can be part of the show by submitting your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Like Andrew Williams already did. He said, "You dude's hype for Multiverse comes back in late May."
Does it really? I guess, yeah, it does. I saw the McDonald's ads.
Yeah.
I was in the drive-thru. I was like, oh.
Oh, multiverse. It's back.
This is a weird way for this news to get broken to me that Multiverse is coming back.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
I wish I was excited. I'm just not. And there's something about just like the rollout of it all that just kind of, it's not exciting right now. Maybe when it's like actually coming closer and it's like, hey, here's what the package actually is. And
my thing is, will it last more than a month? Last time it came out, it was hot for that month and then faded away so quickly. I think this time it's like, all right, you have to have the staying power. What does the battle pass look like? What does the content look like? Like, is there going to be things that are keeping people back in and making the conversation last?
Yeah.
Who's the other wacky character that you're putting in? Who's like the next LeBron? Are we putting in Kobe? Rest in peace. Are we putting in, like, who are we putting in this time?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
We need some bangers, everybody. We need some bangers.
Put in Kendrick.
But you know, enough about all that. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We do have five stories today.
Baker's Dozen.
Before we get into it, this is one thing I wanted to bring up at the top of the show, but I forgot to send it to Assets. I just sent it to Assets. You know, when you're on the TikTok algorithms and the algorithm be algorithming. Tim, have you seen people playing two-player co-op Super Mario 64?
No.
And like going for speedruns?
No.
So my TikTok algorithm has a chokehold on me because I started seeing these like probably about a week ago. And every now and then I'll stop by and I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. And then I'll swipe and do my regular TikTok thing. The other day, yesterday, I was swiping through TikTok, came across one of the streams, watched it for a second. I was like, damn, it's really cool. Like, it's basically people are trying, I think it's 120 star type speedrun, right?
Love
where
that.
People are jumping, like one person's playing as Mario, the other person's playing as Luigi, and you are like going for the 100 coins at the same time. You're strategizing like, all right, we're gonna do all 6 stars on this level, but while we're doing it, like one person's gonna stay in the level, so it like keeps that ongoing coin count.
Okay.
And so there's a fun strategy to it. I had this thing happen where it's not happened to me many times on TikTok before, where I see one, because it's like they're doing 2 streams at the same time. I see the first stream. This is the first stream I'm watching here, right? And then I'm swiping through, and then the other person is right there, and it's really cool. But you can see the setup they have, where it's like they have the main person playing either Mario and Luigi, and then in the corner you can see what the other person's doing, and I swipe back up, and it's like the other person's stream. I'm like, this is fucking wacky.
That's crazy. I love
it. It's fucking cool, though. I'm like, dude, TikTok knows what I want.
And we got to figure that out.
I want co-op Mario content.
Me and you. Let's
I would
co-op
love to
Mario
figure it
64.
Out.
I don't know what that looks like, but
I think me and you could make a pretty good speedrun record in Mario 64.
Speedrun record? I don't know about all that.
I think we could be in the contention. I don't know if we're getting number one.
Maybe the. No, I think we'll actually, be in the top I'm just going to say no.
I think we can get top 50.
One of the most speedrun games ever. I'm not so sure.
I believe in us.
But co-op speedrun?
I mean, I guess that's a good point. That is a good point. Although people are already doing it. At least 2 of them.
Yeah, but I think they're like the only ones. These are the same guys I keep seeing.
Yeah. Good for them.
Good for them.
And good for us. Story number one, Keanu Reeves joins Sonic the Hedgehog 3 as Shadow the Hedgehog. This comes from Boris Kitt and Aaron Couch at The Hollywood Reporter. The Hollywood Reporter is talking about Shadow the Hedgehog.
They have to.
Keanu Reeves is speeding along to another franchise with this John Wick star heading to Sonic 3. He'll be voicing the popular character named Shadow, multiple sources tell The Hollywood Reporter. The news comes on the heels of a jam-packed CinemaCon presentation from Paramount last week when the studio debuted the first footage for Sonic 3. This included the revelation that Dr. Robotnik, played by Jim Carrey, was depressed and out of shape after the events of Sonic 2.
I love how that gets us excited.
I know,
He's depressed and out of shape. Yeah, Let's fucking go.
Yes!
We're getting prime Robotnik.
But gets his groove back thanks to creating Shadow the Hedgehog, a character first introduced in the video games in 2001's Sonic Adventure 2. The character's in many ways the anti-Sonic, dark and edgy, while mirroring the hero's powers. Thank you so much, Barrett, for bringing up this thumbnail, and thank you so much, Roger, for creating it.
I love it so much. For audio listeners, our thumbnail for YouTube today is Keanu Reeves' face photoshopped onto Shadow the Hedgehog's body, and it looks perfect.
So it feels right.
We got Keanu Reeves. We got Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. This is the cyberpunk Sonic the Hedgehog crossover we never thought possible.
Yeah.
Les, what are your thoughts?
I'm just happy that Sonic the Hedgehog fans have something that we can look forward to consistently that is exciting, quality. Like, who would have thought we would have got here?
To Sonic 3.
If you told me, like, before 2020, right, before the Sonic the Hedgehog movies came out, hey, in the third Sonic the Hedgehog movie, you're going to have Idris Elba, one of my favorite actors. You're going to have Idris Elba playing Knuckles. You're going to have Keanu fucking Reeves playing Shadow the Hedgehog. And that ugly Sonic that they showed, that's not the real Sonic. They're going to make him look a bit better. I wouldn't believe you. I'd be shocked. Roger, you're the number one Shadow the Hedgehog fan.
We need to give Shadow the Hedgehog a gun. That's the number one thing that we need to figure out now. Yeah. We have the king of gun-fu. Mm-hmm. And we need to give this guy a gun. I don't care if this gun shoots laser beams, ice. I don't give a shit.
Who cares?
He needs a fucking gun, everybody. And that is the number one thing we need to figure out as a country. Number one.
Dude.
I hope he says damn.
I think it's going to happen. I hope he says damn. Yeah. Dude, I think it's going to happen because apparently the CinemaCon footage, he's on his motorcycle.
God.
And if they know what they have. Yeah. So I think that they're going to deliver. Now, Les, to your point about how are we in this timeline. Now, real quick, did you see Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers?
No.
The movie?
Well, very good.
I'm very curious
First off,
about where this is going.
You need to watch the movie. I don't want to spoil anything.
I'm not a Chip and Dale guy.
Doesn't matter. You need to
it's
watch
so
it.
It's so good.
It is so much fun.
Okay.
Also
so
not
much
a Chip and Dale
fun.
Guy.
Okay. Yeah. It has less to do with Chip and Dale, more to do with just everything. It's kind of like Multiverses, the movie. But I don't want to spoil things because I'll show you after this a scene that is going to change your life.
Okay.
But... I'm going to change your life even more right now, Bless.
What's that?
Would you believe that in 10 days, Knuckles
10 days?
Comes out on Paramount Plus. We are 10 days away from Knuckles.
Fuck.
Yeah, man.
Holy shit. Oh, man. That's exciting.
It is.
That's wild.
It is. Year of the Shadow, man.
Year of the Shadow. And that movie, Sonic 3 is coming out this December, this year.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, this really is the year that we saw the Sonic the Hedgehog account talking about how this year is the year of Shadow. It feels like they're being very genuine about it, right? Like, they're keeping up with it. They're making it happen. You got Sonic.
They're doing more than Nintendo ever did.
Yeah, we got Sonic Cross Shadow Generations coming out later this year. But no, like, I think the wildest thing about this casting is that I still don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm reading it. I'm like, that's fucking insane.
I know. Because all the rumors, people were talking about Hayden Christensen, which I would have loved. Like, honestly, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that is hilariously dream meme casting. But also, I'm actually legitimately stoked about that. Like, the idea of Hayden Christensen's voice coming out of Shadow the Hedgehog works on so many levels for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be disappointed if that ends up not being the case. And then they announced Keanu Reeves.
I think that's the second best thing, I think.
In my mind, I'm like, oh, I didn't even think that was possible. I think that's the thing.
I was excited about Hayden Christensen because I didn't think Keanu Reeves was possible.
This is actually perfect.
The fact that it's Keanu Reeves, I'm like, oh, they did the impossible.
They did the impossible.
Good for them, man.
Oh, God.
And
I
also,
can't
Jim
wait.
Carrey's back.
Apparently, Jim Carrey is Dr. He's Obama. Back, dude. This is about to be insane.
Yeah.
Did you see that the director was talking about, like, trying to build out to like a Sonic, like cinematic universe type thing where they're like, we want to get to like Avengers level shit with this.
Okay, but let's not get crazy.
but they're doing let's it. Let's not though. Get nuts. They're doing it already, Bless.
Sonic is one. Sonic is one universe.
But he's saying in terms of the cast of characters of Sonic, like not necessarily crossover stuff, but like we want to keep adding to the lore of the Sonic stuff.
Okay, so they
like,
want
to
get Rouge the Bat in there, all Jake of the it. Cat, want to get that crocodile in there. All right, in, dude. I'm with it.
Yeah.
Dude, let's make a Chaotix movie.
Why not?
Just go for it. I mean, you're really going to do
this. Pretty much doing it on Paramount Plus in 10 days, guys.
We kind of are, yeah. Fuck.
God damn. Let's go. Story number two. Nintendo Indie World Showcase announced for tomorrow with 20 minutes of indie games heading to Switch. This comes from Taylor Lyles at IGN. Nintendo's announced the first Indie World Showcase for 2024. Well, yeah, Zach Jackson in the chat saying Kristen Ritter is Rouge the Bat.
At this point, I believe it.
That's pretty much rumored. Like, that's what everyone's talking about. I think it's real.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
I won't believe it till I but see like, it. Dude. That's too perfect. Also, Shadow is too perfect, but still.
The digital showcase airs tomorrow, April 17th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. As with previous Indie World showcases, the event will be roughly 20 minutes and will feature news and updates focused on indie games headed to the Nintendo Switch. The last Nintendo Indie World showcase was held in November. Some of the announcements from that event included a Switch port of Outer Wilds, Shantae Advance, Risky Revolution, and On Your Tail. Though Nintendo did not tease or specify which indie games would appear this time around, many fans hope that Team Cherry will finally unveil a release date for Hollow Knight Silksong. Silksong, the highly anticipated sequel to the 2017 game Hollow Knight, was announced back in 2019, but in the years since, Team Cherry has provided minimal updates on when fans can expect the project to release.
Here's the thing.
What's the thing, Bless?
Because every Nintendo indie thing, people are like, Silksong, 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 right? And like, it never happens. And it always
it
feels...
It did once.
Was that a Nintendo thing? I forget where that happened.
It was first shown in a Nintendo thing.
It was first shown in a Nintendo thing, but then it was like, I think, re-revealed at an Xbox thing, at the Xbox E3 showcase. And they were like, oh yeah, in 12 months, and those 12 months flew by. But yeah, we keep doing this every time there's any kind of showcase. Where Silksong, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Here's the thing. Because people are doing the same thing with this one. I think this one, there's way more reason to believe it might actually happen at this one, right? Like this, there have been rumbles on the web. There's been rumbles mainly on the ratings boards. There was that, last week or during April. It was on April Fool's Day, right? That where the Hollow Knight Silksong store page went up on Xbox and I think on other platforms as well. Kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And then, yeah, like lately, like there have been multiple outlets in different countries talking about, oh, yeah, we have the Silksong rating. So it feels
it was rated in Korea, I think, like last week. And that's typically like. People have seen before that if a game gets rated in Korea, it usually is coming out in the next 6 months, usually. Not guaranteed always the case. And then it just got rated in Australia.
Yeah. This isn't me saying that it's going to happen, but it is me saying that there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
there's a stronger chance now than ever.
I'd be like a 40% chance it's there. It like wouldn't be surprised if it's not, though. Like, Silksong could be anywhere and everywhere at this point. The thing is, in a lot of ways, it feels like it's graduated from an Indie World showcase to more of like a actual showcase.
It's a closer at the Game Awards type thing.
Exactly, like that, or even a real Nintendo Direct or a PlayStation showcase or one of the Xbox showcases. Like, I can imagine following up from the last time they did this, like at the Xbox Game Showcase in June, hey, Shadow Drop, it's here. Like, I could see them doing that. But also, I could see them being here. Like, Silksong is a weird game because I feel it is an indie game, but we've kind of all hyped it into a different echelon of game, which is cool. And I love that. I feel like it's awesome that some of these games can kind of like transcend the title that we bestow on it or whatever, the bucket that we put it in.
Yeah.
But also Indie World does have cool stuff sometimes. It also has kind of like, oh, this could have been an email type presentation sometimes. For sure. It has everything in between. So I don't know. It's always hard to predict or get too excited for Indie World presentations, because a lot of the times with indie games, there's only not even a handful. There's like one or two games that we are even excited to potentially be there. Otherwise, it's a bunch of cool stuff we don't know about, that's the fun part, is learning about new things.
Yeah. I mean, there was also, Bear talked about the rating in Korea. Yesterday was rated in Australia as well, right? Like, there have been multiple instances of Hollow Knight
movement.
Yeah, movement in the Hollow Knight sphere. That makes me think it is more likely we see it tomorrow than not. Like, I think Hollow Knight, in terms of hardcore gamers, is fucking, it's popping, right? Like, I think it has that popularity. We talk about it, yeah, being at a, it feels like it could be at a Summer Game Fest. It feels like it could be at a Game Awards. It feels like it's hit that echelon. I think it has hit that echelon with hardcore gamers. But I also think, to your point, it is an indie game, right? Like, Hollow Knight came out, oh, I cannot tell you the year it came out, 2017. And I think it was one of those ones that I think took a little time to get that movement going, but then it became a classic over, like an indie classic, a modern indie classic, over the years, right? Mm-hmm. It took time for people to like digest and be like, oh, wait, have you played this? Because you got to play it. I feel like it was by 2019 where I heard everybody start to talk about like, oh, Hollow Knight is that shit. Like, y'all got to play Hollow Knight. Obviously, I heard people talk about it in 2017, but it took that time for it. I still do think, though, that like, it's not a Mario, right? It's not a, like, I'm trying to find the sales for the original Hollow Knight, and the first thing that pops up is 3 million copies as of December 2020. That's not like an earth-shattering amount of sales for a game. I think Hollow Knight appearing at a Nintendo indie showcase probably falls in line. Like, I think that is for an indie world, I think that is a closer. That's our biggest announcement we have.
Oh, absolutely. At an indie world. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, like,
that adds value to indie world, too.
It adds a lot of value to indie world versus, say, you had this at a regular Nintendo Direct. I don't think Hollow Knight Silksong is closing a regular Nintendo Direct if Nintendo's bringing one of their first-party things.
Yeah.
You know, like, if Nintendo has a new Mario, or if Nintendo has a new, I don't know, Zelda, or like a Metroid Prime or something, Silksong becomes the second or third most exciting thing from that Direct. Whereas at Indie World, hey, like, you premiered here. We're going to give you the prime spot here because, you know, we look at you as Hollow Knight as like a premier prestige indie title. Let's give you that placement. I think that makes a lot of sense. And based on the timing of everything that's been going on for the movement of Hollow Knight Silksong, the ratings boards, all this stuff. Yeah, I'm more of like 70% that this thing shows up tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm most surprised at it showing up at Xbox at all. Like, felt so tied to Nintendo. And I feel like it coming out on Switch was a big boon for the game's success, especially at the time that it did, back in 2017. So it was weird for it to show up at Xbox, but because it has shown up at Xbox, now I'm like, all right, is the team thinking bigger? You know what I mean? Are they trying to be everywhere? And like, I do think it graduated more to somewhere that I expected to see it at a Game Awards or Summer Game Fest. Kickoff live opening night, whatever opening. The fuck it's called.
If it's coming out in a month?
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing too, is when's it coming out? Yeah. And I feel like, all right, let's get crazy here, Blast. Fuck it. We're here. You're saying 70% chances tomorrow. I don't think you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Is it Shadow Drop tomorrow?
No. I don't think you Shadow Drop this game. That said, I think you announced it close to release. I think this is the kind of game that people are tired of waiting for. You know, I think when you see at every presentation, people be like, where's Hollow Knight Silksong? Where is it? Where is it? I don't think you announce it and then go, and it's coming out this fall, because we've heard that before, right? Like, I know the Xbox 12 months thing sort of a looser, oh yeah, all the games being shown off here are coming out in 12 months, but that gave people that impression, right? Like, that was a thing they doubled down on. And then, yeah, once we got toward the end of that 12 months, the studio came out and they were like, hey, it's not coming. Like, this might not hit the 12 months. In fact, it's not going to hit, this is like last year's the time this is happening. It might not hit 2023. And so now we're here in 2024 for a game that already got delayed out of 2023. I have to imagine that it's somewhat imminent.
Mm-hmm.
I think, let's say, I'm predicting May. I think
May feels right.
If you come out, announce it now, you give it a solid May release date and make it happen. I think if it's coming out either summer or later in the fall, then I don't think we see it here. I think we end up seeing it at an Xbox showcase or opening night live. I think you see it right before it drops.
I think you're right. Yeah, that is a good observation there, Bless.
I'm in the camp of Patrick Klepek from Remap. I think he was saying recently, like, he could see Silksong not coming out until like middle of 2025, but he could also equally see it coming out in the next couple weeks.
I mean, yeah, it's really on them to just tell us. And like, I'm with Bless that the next time they talk about it, I think it's going to be a more substantial message than just,
it's, I think, coming. It's going to be a month and a half away by the time we see it again.
And someone in chat, maybe someone else, you're wrong this chat, but someone was saying for the first Hollow Knight, they announced the date 2 weeks before the game came out.
There we go.
Yeah.
Story number three, Sony wants 60 frames per second PS5 Pro enhanced games, but is happy to settle for less. This comes from Tom Warren at The Verge. Something tells me we're going to be talking about this stuff for a long time.
I'm excited, man.
Sony's working on a new high-end version of the PS5, codenamed Trinity, still fucking cool, and likely to debut as the PS5 Pro later this year. The Verge confirmed leaked specs about the PS5 Pro earlier this week, and we've also obtained details on how existing and new PS5 games can be enhanced to take advantage of the PlayStation 5 Pro hardware. Sony's also working on an Ultra Boost mode for older games to make them run better on the PS5 Pro. Sources familiar with Sony's plans tell The Verge that Sony is asking developers to create a new PS5 Pro exclusive graphics mode in games that combine Sony's new PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution, Pusser, upscaling to 4K resolution with a 60 frames per second frame rate and ray tracing effects. Insider Gaming first reported on some of these enhanced PS5 Pro game details last month. While Sony wants this new mode in games, the PS5 Pro enhanced label will still be available for a variety of other scenarios that include 30 frames per second games. Developers have the option of increasing the target resolution for PS5 Pro games that run at a fixed resolution on PS5, or even increasing the target maximum resolution for games that run at a variable resolution on PlayStation 5. That could mean we see PS5 Pro enhanced games that run at between 1080p and 1440p resolution at 30 on the base PS5 and run between 1280p and 2160p on the PS5 Pro at the same frame rate. A fixed resolution increase from 1440 to 2160 would also qualify as a PS5 Pro enhanced game. Now here's the thing. I know this just sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook numbers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty substantial increases. Like you're essentially going up the entire resolution bump.
Yeah.
From the 1440 to 2160. So like that's 2K to 4K. Developers could also choose to enable ray tracing effects and get the PS5 Pro enhanced label without improving resolution or frame rates. Okay. What? You're losing me here. If a developer wants to target 60 instead of 30 with the same resolution, this may also qualify as a PS5 Pro enhanced game. I'm going to just editorialize a little bit here.
Yeah.
Also, if they fucking feel like it, they're just calling PS5 enhanced. Yeah, if you just want to
put enhance on it, we'll put it there for you.
And then it is what it is. Simply running a game at a more stable frame rate on PS5 Pro is not enough for the enhanced label, though. Sony also won't add the label to games that run with a variable resolution and see increased resolution on the PS5 Pro that doesn't improve the maximum resolution. So if a game moves from 1440 to 2160 variable to 1800 2160 variable, this would not qualify for the enhanced label. So they want some
solid rates.
Consistent, just strong,
which I'm here for.
Let's go, man. Developers will need to update their games to Sony's latest SDK to take advantage of PS5 Pro features, but some games that haven't been updated will still benefit from better performance on the upcoming console. I understand that the PS5 Pro will have an Ultra Boost mode that will help VRR modes run at a higher frame rate, and games with a variable resolution may render at higher resolutions. Overall, frame rates may be more stable in certain games too. This is such fucking this hilarious shit. Things may be better, yeah, but they may not.
I know there's still more to read, but like, how much of a marketing problem do you think they're gonna have with this?
I don't think they're actually going. I think that we're all gonna talk about it as if it's a problem. It's not gonna be a problem. They're gonna have their buzzwords they're able to sell people on. People are just gonna buy the console. I don't think there's any risk of this thing not selling. So I think that's where that's at. I don't think they give a shit. You know what I mean?
That's also like, fair.
Let's hope things work. let's hope.
They're just going to call it enhanced. We're going to be like, all right, sure.
All right, cool. It's Pro. Cool. It's enhanced. Sony does warn developers that many unpatched games won't show improvements in this Ultra Boost mode, though. Oh, unpatched. Got it. Games that run at a fixed resolution and graphical setting for fixed rendering resolutions won't show improvements. Even if developers remain on older versions of Sony's SDK, they can still utilize Pusser to upscale titles and get access to the additional system memory that Sony is offering game developers. The requirements for the PS5 Pro enhanced label seem largely similar to what Sony did with the PS4 Pro, and there's some clear flexibility here so developers can pick what they want to improve. If a game qualifies for the enhanced label, it can be displayed on disc packaging and on Sony's PlayStation Store pages.
I really hope they change it from Pusser.
Yeah, there's no way.
I hope they don't.
The internet runs with it, which they will. Mm-hmm. We know the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, you know, like, come on.
Pusser, Bless. I don't know.
It's just too aggressive and it's too easy.
What are you scared of, Bless? Are you scared of the Pusser from the Pusser?
I'm Jesus Christ. It's just too much. Because like these are the jokes that we're making on, you know, Kind of Funny Games Daily, which is known for your most highbrow humor, right?
Uh-huh,
imagine once the Twitter streets get a hold of this, once the Reddit streets get a hold of this and realize that it is PSSR, those memes are gonna be relentless.
They are, man.
Oh, please change it. I can't deal with the
you program. Gotta leave it. You gotta stick to your guns here.
Poster, I love you. XOXO. Let's change it.
Let's change the whole show. I love that. Again, this is silly stuff because it's like, all right, whatever, guys, just a bunch of numbers. Like literally the amount of numbers I just read there with a P after was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this though. Like I do like the idea of them being able to choose what their game needs to enhance, whether it's like, hey, we're focusing on resolution or we're focusing on frame rate or whatever. This still just goes to my big problem, which is like, God, now there's going to be even more options of which mode to pick. What I'm hoping is that if you have a PS5 Pro, there's just this enhanced mode and that's the one mode you choose. There's no reason to want to choose the other modes besides this. That's my hope.
Yeah.
That is my dream. I don't know that I'm going to get that, but I want it.
I'm with you there. I agree with that. Like, I don't like the decision paralysis of, oh, do I want to get the fidelity or do I want to get the ray tracing or do I want to get the frame rate? You know, like, I want to live in the world where I can have it all. And if the PlayStation 5 Pro allows me to have it all, then I think that's a success and I'm all about that, right? Like, I definitely have my preference. Like, most important to me is frame rate. So hearing them be like, hey, yeah, to get that PS5 Pro enhanced designation, you got to have a locked frame rate. I'm like, let's fucking go. That's what I want. Outside of that, I think my biggest thing is, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Like, we talked yesterday about how them doing the stream, showing off, like, the before and afters. Like, it's going to be a tough thing to even convey when people are watching it on a stream. You're going to need to see it natively on a television or on the monitor and, like, see these things with your own eyes. I want to see it because right now where I'm at with games in general, when I'm playing on a performance mode, like I can kind of tell the difference between fidelity and performance. Well, I can easily tell performance because frame rate, I think, is easier for me personally to distinguish as opposed to just like better fidelity. I want to see what this looks like when we get this jump, right? Like, is it gonna matter to me as somebody who's not as like hardcore?
I don't
think
it will. Like, I really don't. I think if you already are like, I don't really see the difference with resolution, this is not going to change any of that for you, which like, is fine.
I'm looking around and I'm like, all right, I guess the lighting looks good. Like, I guess like these games look good, but it's like,
it's going to be Last of Us Part 2 remastered all over again, but for more games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I'm like, hey, the more frame rate, the better. Like, frame rate, I am all in, because as soon as I still remember day one of having my PS5 and playing, because I think I jumped from a base PS4 to PS5. I didn't even fuck with the PS4 Pro that much. So jumping into Miles Morales in performance mode and being like, whoa, everything's so smooth. I am going so fast. Like, I can see every frame in this rate. You know what I mean? That was fucking cool. That was fucking dope. And that's how I want to play my games, with that mode. I don't know how much further I can get out of that, though.
Yeah. I mean, there's always a next step. Anytime you're like, oh, this is as good as it can get, the future happens and you look back at the old games, you're like,
but there has to be diminishing returns at some point.
Oh, there already is. Yeah, we're definitely there. But the diminishing returns, we're just at a point right now where games just aren't. I'll never forget Jedi Survivor coming out and it's just not fucking working.
Yeah.
And that's the story of that game. Forever, the story of that game is going to be it didn't work. And that sucks. And you know why that's the story? Because it didn't work. It just didn't fucking work.
I mean, yeah.
That's the fucking problem.
But like, are we blaming the power of the console, or are you blaming just like how the game is put together? Because I always looked at that as a game problem.
No,
like,
why doesn't this
work when I can play God of War Ragnarok?
That
wasn't
just a PlayStation problem. That was an everywhere that game played problem.
Yeah. But it shouldn't be a thing where there's problems and then it's like, well, this works a little bit better in this mode and this works a little bit in this mode. Like, oh, you're having all that problems? Oh, you should just switch to this other mode. That shouldn't be a fucking thing.
Yeah.
But it is, because consoles have turned into PCs now.
Yeah, but like, at what point is it on more so Respawn and EA to like either delay or figure out these issues on their side, as opposed to us being like, oh yeah, there's too many consoles and PCs, and like, oh, you can't. I played Elden Ring and that is the best looking game I've ever played, and it worked, right? Like, it worked across, it worked on multi-platforms, it worked on PC, right? And it looked fucking great and it ran really well with, like, I don't remember that having many frame drops.
To be clear, I'm not blaming the hardware at all.
Okay.
I'm 100%. It's on the software side, where it's like all of this stuff, it's like this is still on the devs to figure out what they're prioritizing for the modes to work. So it's like, is not going to be there's one answer that we're getting everything. You're not getting ray tracing and frame rate and resolution. Some games will, but I think that they're going to essentially have to choose, I imagine, one to two of the things. I feel like ray tracing plus frame rate or resolution, which is what we've already kind of been seeing with the difference between when there's a performance mode, fidelity mode, and then there's that third RT performance mode,
yeah,
which I feel is kind of the most popular go-to answer for people. Mm-hmm. Like if they had those three options, because you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. I imagine that this enhanced thing is going to be just a better version of that is more standardized across games. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and
see. I just hope I think out of all this, the thing I'm most excited for, or the thing I'm most curious about, is the PSSR. I hope they make that term something cooler. Like maybe they just go with pro enhanced and like that is their way of saying this has pusher in it. But like I want to see what that AI upsampling looks like, you know?
The thing is with AI is it is a complicated word to use because it is a negative buzzword to a certain audience in a certain way. The general public doesn't feel that way though. So I think that it's a lot easier for them to talk about AI than we get kind of gun shy about it, but I feel like all they need to do is like using advanced artificial intelligence, we're able to make your shit look dope as fuck.
But like, I think NVIDIA does it in a good way, right?
They do.
Like, they have DLSS and they talk about DLSS. And we know DLSS is using AI technology, but the way they talk about it, it's like, oh, this makes sense. We know what this is doing. I just think they got to change. I think if they want to roll a PSSR, roll a PSSR and just make that the thing, I think there's a cooler name you can find for that. Like, not even just for the fact that it sounds like pusser, but I think when you put a bunch of letters like that together and it's just an acronym for whatever the fuck, the general audience looks at that and it's like, okay, cool, APSSR. But if you're able to go, I don't know, man, super sampling or some shit.
That's what it is. That's what the SR is.
It is what it is. But I think there's a better term you can use for it, but whatever, right? I think if you're able to drive that home of, hey, not only do you get better frame rates, not only do you get better resolution, but your games are going to look so much fucking better because of this new technology that we're pushing on the PlayStation side. As long as you're able to convey that in the gameplay and in presentations, the way that I look at Andy playing Cyberpunk and he shows me the before and afters, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I think we need that moment with PS5 Pro. If they're able to nail down having those moments, and I think that's where the before and afters might have to come in, then I think you got something. Then I think you might be cooking. But like, if you're not able to do that, like if I'm looking at the presentations and I'm like, okay, but does God of War Ragnarok look better? I can't tell.
Dude, real talk.
It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I honestly think you're going to have a problem. I really think that I think this is going to be one of those things where they're just going to be like, yo, it's better, and you just need to kind of believe them, and it's going to be better, but I don't think it's going to be the type of thing. I don't think that this is going to, anybody that is not interested in buying a PS5 Pro right now, I don't think that anything they're going to see is going to make them go, I need it now.
Maybe I might be not tapped in enough. I don't feel like anybody is really excited for a PS5 Pro.
People that don't have PS5s. I think that that's the audience for this. I think that it's not so much trying to get people to upgrade. There will be a lot of people that do. I'm going to upgrade. This stuff for me, I'm like, I'm already sold. I know I want the best experience on a PlayStation, so I'm going to do this. I know that I'm not like representative of the majority. That's fine. I think that the target audience for this is continuing getting new people playing PS5, and this is just them trying to be like, yo, it's the best we got out there, and that's why we're getting these mid-gen console refreshes. Like, if their strategy is to try to get everybody to upgrade their systems, I think that's insane.
Yeah, that's fair.
But we'll have to wait. We'll have to see, everybody. And while we do all of that, remember, you can support us with the Kinda Funny membership and get the shows ad-free. But for everyone else, here's a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We got a super chat from Armando who says Interstellar returns to theaters on September 27th and will be screened in 70mm IMAX. Maybe Blessing joins for a rewatch, kind of funny, and review.
That would be sick.
Honestly, like, if you get the chance to watch Interstellar in IMAX, you got to take
September
it.
September 27th? Okay.
You got to take it, man.
September 27th. I think I might be going to Wicked.
That day?
I think that day. I got to double check, but I could be down for that.
You got to prioritize. I'm going to be real, Bless. It's like I was a theater kid, but I wasn't a musical theater kid. Wicked kicks ass.
I've been waiting my whole life to watch Wicked. I know
that is the exact. No way. Kid?
The 26th is what I'm going to see.
Good.
Yeah.
You're good now.
But no, I used to listen to the soundtrack all the time as a kid. And like I know the songs, and I used to sing along to the songs. Never seen the full musical. Yeah. And so been very excited.
I'm hyped for the movie later this year.
Dude, I'm so hyped for the movie. Ariana Grande?
We could do a double feature, Shadow Sonic 3 and then Wicked. Part one.
That is, you don't understand how excited. You don't understand.
I love us so much.
Targeted that is as a double feature.
That's amazing. Amazing. Story number four. It Takes Two studio Hazelight says it will announce new stuff later this year. Ooh. This comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. Hazelight has teased that its next game may be announced later this year. In a post on its official Twitter account, the studio noted that its 10th anniversary will be in November, and that while it'll be looking back at its previous achievements in the near future, it will reveal new, real good stuff later in the year. In November, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Hazelight. The post reads, I'm going to read the whole post here. It's fun. In November, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Hazelight. Damn, it's nostalgic looking back at Joseph accepting a BAFTA for Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons back in March 2014. The crazy success of that game is why he founded Hazelight soon after. Sure, we got new, real good stuff cooking that we'll talk more about later this year. But right now, we want to take you on a trip down memory lane and show you some of the never-before-seen moments that got us here. More to come soon. And then there's a thread of stuff. Cool. I'm excited for this. You got to imagine Game Awards. Sorry, Game Fest.
Oh, Game Awards.
Oh, what do you think? I don't know.
I mean, I think it'll be an Akili thing.
Yeah, for sure. Them saying later this year.
Later this year does feel like later. Further down, yeah, than June.
Because I feel like they would say this summer if maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they say soon.
Yeah, soon.
Because we're getting soon. Summer Game Fest is real close.
Yeah. Either way, yeah, I'm excited to see what this is. I hope it's more of what we know his Light Studios for, right? Like, I really fucked with A Way Out. I really loved It Takes Two. Like, I think they've got something here. The fact that they're really the only studio doing what they're doing on that level, I love to see that, right? It reminds me of how Blue Point is, like, you know, the guys when it comes to remakes, right? Like, you look at Blue Point, you're like, oh, if we want a dope-ass remake made, we go to Blue Point. If you want a good-ass, unique co-op game, like, you go to Hazelight, and like they're gonna knock out of the park, and so yeah, very excited to see what this game is.
Very excited. I do hope it's another co-op game because I agree with you. I love that they have this like fun identity. Niche that they're kind of like building out. Yeah, like, great identity there. Yesterday, Bless, you bringing up Blue Point, I saw a video going around Twitter that was just gameplay of Shadow of the Colossus 2018.
Yeah,
and I was so close to just sending it to you, and I was like, I don't need to do that. But dude, what a game,
dude. Shadow Colossus 2018 is incredible because of Shadow Colossus, but also how like that game just looks so fucking good. So I came across actually the screenshots that I took because I replayed it either in 2020 or in 2021. I was posting screenshots during my playthrough. I don't know how I found them again, but yeah, I was just looking through them. I'm like, dude, this game is gorgeous. It was I think when photo modes were first like. Or not when photo modes were making a comeback, or when photo modes were having a moment. I think it was after Ghost of Tsushima, because everybody was taking photos in Ghost of Tsushima. So I think after that, sometime I was playing Shadow, and I was just in the photo mode constantly in that game. And it looks incredible.
It's incredible, man. Like, what a special thing. And dude, shout out to Blue Point. One day we'll finally know what they're working on.
Yeah.
It's weird, right? Like, how do we still not know what the fuck Blue Point's been up to? Like, how many years have we been like, oh, well, they're working on original content? What's the content?
What if, like, what if PlayStation Studios aren't doing anything? What if like after all the previous games, they're like
we did good.
Fucking Herman Holst pulls a meeting with all the studio heads, and he's like, listen, we worked real hard during the PS4 generation. We're going to give you guys this generation off, all right? We'll be back with PlayStation 6. We're going to act like we're working on things, but like, don't worry about
don't
it.
Worry about it. Don't
right
worry about it.
Right now, they're not conquered. Working on shit. Yeah.
We got a couple super chats I wanted to get to real quick. We got Michael writing and saying, you guys fucking rock. Thank you, Michael.
You rock,
you
Michael.
You fucking rock.
Mikey rocks.
Yeah. Then we got CJ Splits on saying, I think the value of a pro for a lot of us is going to be enhanced / non-broken performance mode. So it's so bad in the Final Fantasy games. Yeah. I mean, that's the goal. That's the hope. I'll believe it when I see it.
But like, again, I think the performance modes, I don't look at that as a hardware issue. Like, I look at that as the software, because there's so many performance modes that work so flawlessly. I don't know. I guess maybe a PS5 Pro can help with it, but I don't know. Like, I don't see that as a, oh man, the PS5 Pro is going to solve all my issues with certain modes not working the way they should. Like, yeah. I don't think Dragon's Dogma 2 automatically gets the locked 60 FPS just because the PS5 Pro is doing it. Like, I think they have to opt into that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Going to be interesting. And then Voss says, Rebirth sales underperforming. Pikmin 4 sold more. Yeah, I don't know. Have we talked about this on the show? I don't think so.
Rebirth. I don't think we have.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty upsetting, honestly. Like, I mean, it's still doing great. Millions sold, but it's not like it compared to Final Fantasy VII Remake, it's like nowhere near as good. But there's context there, where there was so many more PS4s out when Remake came out. The pandemic was happening, and this is a sequel in an episodic series. So there was a lot against Rebirth. I do think that when all said and done, and Rebirth or Final Fantasy VII Remake 3, whatever the hell it's called, comes out, and when Rebirth finally does get ported to PC, and then potentially when these end up on other consoles, if that happens, I think at the end of the day, the console sales are going to, or the game sales are going to be just fine, if they're not already. But Square does have very lofty expectations for its games, and we've seen constantly recently them being like, oh, it underperformed. So if Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, their crown achievement title, is underperforming, that's not great.
I have an article from Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is underperforming sales-wise, analyst claims. Says Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is reportedly underperforming commercially. That's according to Daniel Amad, director of research and insights at Nico Partners, who said the PS5 game has been faring worse than its predecessor following its release in February. Quote, it's selling about half of what Remake sold in the same time frame and looks like it'll have a weaker tail prior to any PS Plus-like release, Amad added. Final Fantasy VII Remake was released for PS4 in April 2020 when the console had an install base of over 100 million units. Shipments of the game topped 3.5 million in its first 3 days, according to Square Enix, which hasn't announced Rebirth sales data. But I think that install base thing is like a big factor in this. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or Remake came out in the final year of the PS4, and we're only, about halfway through the generation for the PS5. And like, I think we also know where we're at in 2024 versus 2020, beginning of 2020, where, or like mid 2020, where it was pandemic, where it was, did Remake come out like right at the start of pandemic? Was that what it
April.
Was?
Yeah, Silent? It was. I remember like we got codes for Persona 5 Royal like the day after we started working from home. And then, like, it was around that same time we also got Final Fantasy. Or it was, like, a month later we got Final Fantasy.
Yeah, like, so we were already at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would think that probably has a big factor into Remake as well. We know sales for games are I think, dipping post, or, like, I guess late pandemic. I don't even know if we're in pandemic anymore. The news has stopped talking about it. But, yeah, like, I think there's a lot of factors around that. But I wouldn't be surprised also if interest was waning. Like,
here's the thing. We cannot look at these numbers and say that it's not a success. And if that's the case, sure, we got to reframe our thoughts on what success looks
and
like.
And we've said that for years about Square Enix, that totally. They have to reframe their ideas of success.
Here's what I'll throw out there. What if there's just too many Final Fantasy games? We had Final Fantasy 16 like 7 months before we got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
You're thinking it's like a Star Wars Rogue One to, or Last Jedi to Solo kind of situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the factors you just talked about are definitely factors in here, but I wouldn't be surprised if like another factor is just Final Fantasy fatigue, right? We got a big, big, big Final Fantasy that came out 7 months ago, and that also underperformed to Square Enix. Months before that, we got Crisis Core Final Fantasy Reunion, much smaller game, right? Like, that wasn't supposed to be this big thing, but still a Final Fantasy game for the fans of Final Fantasy VII. And then in that same year, months before that, we got Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy. Again, all different games, but all part of the same franchise speaking to the same audience. I wouldn't be surprised if people are like, oh man, I'm all Final Fantasy'd out right now. Let alone like all the smaller spinoffs that we talk about. chocobo racing and shit.
Yeah. Hey, man. A lot of different factors. Big factors.
Big factors.
Huge factors, bless. But if gigantic. I wanted to know about small things, the smallest little news items I'd look for, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
First thing we got, a tweet from Mario64. Hades 2 technical test sign-up request is on Steam.
Oh, cool.
Technical test is planned to begin shortly. Ooh.
That's exciting.
Yeah. A new Xbox Game Pass games list has been announced. Orcs Must Die 3, EA Sports NHL 24, Ayudin Chronicles 100 Heroes, Have a Nice Death, Another Crab's Treasure, Manor Lords, and Game Pass core games are Deep Rock Galactic, Super Hot, Mind Control Delete, Wreckfest. Kill It With Fire 2, starring Andy Cortez, is out today in early access for PC.
Yeah.
Life Eater is out today on PC. Planet of Lana is out today on PC and Switch.
Play that game.
Dave the Diver's out on PlayStation. Grounded is out on PlayStation. Harold Halibut is out today. Ermax available in Mortal Kombat 1.
Ermax.
And Metaphor ReFantasio is getting a showcase on April 22nd at 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Will we be live reacting to that blessing?
Corner Bear Corner? Yes, we will.
Y'all are doing it.
We're doing Barrett, it. We're doing the damn
blessing,
thing.
Blessing. Hanging out. ReFantasing each other. Live. For your amusement.
The more I read this name, Metaphor ReFantasio, the more it warms up to me.
Yeah.
I think at first...
It's the more I look at the logo specifically for Metaphor, where I'm like, that's sick
as
fuck.
It's sick as fuck. Well, when they first announced, I was like, what the fuck is that name? Now that we're this far down the line, I'm like, Metaphor ReFantasio goes fucking hard as a name for a game.
It does.
The world will realize.
The world will learn.
Not
so sure, but we'll see. We'll see. PlayStation's Puma collaboration goes live tomorrow. There's some pictures that we could look at.
I'm all about it.
If you would like. Yeah, so you're about to be the Puma Poppy.
So I've never bought shoes like at a drop like this. I think I might. I was talking to you during the commercial break that like I might be a Puma person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I never thought about like the kind of shoes I like. I've never really been a sneakerhead at all. But my favorite shoes throughout the years have just been Pumas that I've owned.
And I
so,
like it.
Yeah, I like these PlayStation collabs. I think they look really cool. I would rock these. So I might be there. I might try to cop these.
Good luck. I don't think you're going to get them. I think it's going to be kind of hard. These things are usually like very hard to get. So
yeah,
but they're also Pumas, so I don't know. I don't
Tim, you're forgetting I'm him. You know,
I did.
I'm that guy.
I apologize.
I'm gonna get these. You're gonna see me wearing these fucking Pumas. Thank you, Barrett.
Get this man some Pumas.
Give me some Pumas.
And that's it for Wii News, everyone. We got a couple more super chats here. Jamie Simmons says, chasing 4K for TV and gaming has been the biggest mistake. OLED HDR fidelity and frame rate matter so much more. Switch is fire on high-end native 1080p TV. I agree with some of what you're saying there. I do feel like it's a bit of a mix. I think the big mistake was them not popularizing 1440p as a step up as like the goal. And when it came to gaming, I feel like the jump to 4K, you're right, was like, we're just not there yet. Like we're not able to consistently get games playing there. But the problem with the Switch is when you play a Switch on anything that's not a native 1080p TV, which you can't really buy a 1080p TV at like retailers anymore. So buying 4K TVs, the Switch looks like, I'm going to say it, doo-doo butter.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Is that bad?
It's bad, dude.
Rough. I mean, we're in the last year, though. We're going to get that Switch too soon. It'll fix all your problems.
Yeah, we will.
Will it?
We will.
Will it? Weird Nintendo decisions. Who knows?
Then CJ Splitzone says, bless you. Have thoughts on BBL Drizzy?
Me and Roger recorded a Greg Way that went up yesterday. That is our updated thoughts. This is our part two of our rap talks. Where we talked about the Drake diss, and we talked about the Rick Ross diss back at Drake as well. I think the thing I like about Rick Ross's approach to his diss is that he is making jokes and making like the type of jokes that a bully would make, right? Like his strategy is, I'm gonna make fun of you in like the funniest ways, whether they be legit or not. Like I'm not here to talk about facts. I am here to make fun of like you either having a nose job or a BBL or me calling you white or me like do like Rick Ross is taking it to a place where it is. Oh man, this reminds me of high school, like what high school bullies would do, which is just make up shit to make fun of you for. Whereas Drake is like trying to like, you know, fucking dissect Kendrick Lamar's splits with his record label. He's like, oh yeah, you only made 50% of your album drops. Yeah, drop and give me 50. And also, this is a triple entendre because we were the streets are saying to him.
Oh shit!
That like
I only heard the double part.
Oh dude, when Kendrick Lamar dropped from TDE, his record label apparently had to pay top $50 million to do that. So he's dropping, give me 50.
Yeah.
That's kind of sick.
It's fucking good.
It's kind of good.
Drake got the stuff when it comes to the wordplay.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But yeah.
Right now, I'm like, I think Drake is up. You know, I know a lot of, I think a lot of our audience are going to disagree with me because our audience, y'all some nerds, right? So y'all fuck with the lyricists, which I get. But, you know, I'm waiting for that Kendrick response. What's Kendrick got to say?
What's we'll he have to say? We'll have to wait. We'll have to see. We got a little your wrongs here. Let's see what we got wrong. I don't like that one.
Now I gotta open it up and see.
I don't like that one either. Captain says, not technically are you wrong, but Planet of Lana is also out on PlayStation today.
That's literally what we said.
Well, you know,
who's okay, ban yourself.
Get banned, everybody.
Yeah, we said PC
not,
and
not happy. Not happy with the you're wrong
story. Oh, wait. We didn't say PlayStation.
Oh.
Unban yourself.
I like the you're wrongs. I could have sworn I put PlayStation. Your hard work, Captain. I salute you.
Why does it say PC and it was already out on PC and Switch? That must be a typo.
This has been kind of funny games,
dude. No, I don't think it was on Switch. I think it was Xbox before.
We're each and every week.
I'll fall on the sword.
We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. You can watch us record them live and get a daily exclusive show. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.